Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What kind of chicken should I raise on my homestead? How do I grow corn on my property? Meat cow or milk cow? Are goats really the worst? What is the best breed of pig for my place? What is a soil pet? A Cornish cross is the devil. So how do I skin this deer? You ready to get your hands dirty? It's Homesteady, the short edition. Here we go! Okay, I'm going to be honest. We're running late this month. You might have noticed October 1st, there was no episode of Homesteady in the queue. It's because we're working on a really, really big story. It's a great one. And it's going over schedule. But I'm not going to rush a story just to get it out on time. Instead, I figured I'd share a Homesteady short with you guys. We haven't had a short in a while, something really in-depth. So today we're going to dive deep into the subject of pigs. Now hang in there right to the end of the episode because we're going to give you a sneak peek of this upcoming episode, which is really just, it's exciting. I'm really excited about this one. So stay tuned for that sneak peek into the next episode coming. And we also have a special announcement. So stay tuned to the right up to the end of this episode. Now today's interview, I have a great interview with a man named Tom Dexter. Tom is my number one source for anything pig, including the pigs we raise on our farm. We buy all our feeder pigs from him. He's a great source of knowledge about pigs, and he helps answer a lot of questions. Now, this episode is pulled from the Homesteady Pioneers Library. The Pioneer Library, found at thisishomesteady.com, is full of members-only episodes of Homesteady. Perhaps every month you've been listening to the one new episode of Homesteady and wanting more. Well, we actually make two episodes of Homesteady every month. One of them goes into iTunes, the other into the Pioneer Library. Want to listen to two episodes of Homesteady every month? Go to thisishomesteady.com and join. We'll talk a little bit more about it later, but for now, let's get into our interview with Tom Dexter. This is actually a video in the Pioneer Library. You can see Tom's farm, you can see the pigs that he's talking about, but for you guys, I figured we'd pull an excerpt from it and share the audio. It's great information if you're thinking about doing pigs. So, Pigs 101 with Tom Dexter. Here we go.
So today we're talking with Tom Dexter. Tom is my number one source for pigs. I throw everyone who asks me, where do I go for pigs? I bring them to Tom. Tom was a huge help to us when we first started pig farming. We started with just two. We got two from Tom. And now I'm picking up 10 today. And the reason why I'm picking up 10 is because things have gone really well, pig farming. And the reason I think that they've gone really well is because of Tom's help. He really gets us off on the right track. So today, Tom's going to help you get off on the right track.
Well, thank you, Austin. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here, Tom.
Nice day. The snow's gone.
You finally.
And, geez, I didn't think that'd ever end.
So, it's a bad winter.
Yeah, you're on what's left of my grandfather's farm. Awesome. I'm the third generation here. As you drive down West Street, you're going to think, you know, what is he doing here? And it's like we were here before everything else was here,
right?
And like that. My grandfather, he had a dairy. He milked cows, and he also had some pigs that he ran down here in the back of the farm. In not too big of an operation, but again, it would subsidize his dairy thing. And,
wow.
You know, he would milk and peddle to local houses in Forestville and like that, and they started with a horse and wagon and then went to a pickup truck and did that. So
did he deliver with the horse and wagon?
Yeah, my father used to do that.
That's crazy. Yeah. Oh, man.
So then milked the cows by hand and like that because they had no electricity when this was all happening at first. So that's how this place it got started. They come here in 1921. My grandfather bought the place in 1929 at the height of the Depression, and he made it through, thank God, and so that's how we got going, and I always had animals. We've raised pork for ourselves, and I had some Jersey cows and some Herefords I played with.
I didn't know you had cows.
Yeah, then I got into the pigs more, and I kind of, I got a few, and well, like I said, we always had them for ourselves, but I got a few as a kid, and
yeah,
we'd put them in, you know, the freezer for people and like that. And then I had trouble getting quality feeder pigs.
What happened in between your grandfather and you, Tom? Did your dad continue this too?
He did a little, but not a lot.
Why?
Yeah. My father liked horses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's...
Just a different direction.
That's his thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so...
did he have horses here on the farm?
Yeah, in fact, this was a two-stall horse barn right here where my nursery pen is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all right.
So,
and how much bigger was the farm?
When they first come here, there was like almost 60 acres.
Really?
And we're down to 12 now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like I couldn't afford to buy the 12 that we're sitting on because of the price of everything.
Oh, yeah.
So high,
it's changed. When you come to Tom's, you pull in behind a restaurant. It's tucked away. But I love it because as soon as it looks like you're on the main strip here, but when you come back here, it's this beautiful little, you know, serene farm tucked away.
Yeah, where the restaurant is used to be my grandfather's dairy barn.
Really?
And we have a right of way still over there. Property.
I love that. I always pull out in the morning when I got 10 pigs in the back and I'm driving by the restaurant. Guys are coming out here and the pigs squeal, giving me funny looks.
Yeah, there's like, one sausage and bacon I just had.
Yeah. direct deposit.
That's right. I can't get localer than that.
No.
So, yeah, and that's how it started, and I had bought some sows and gradually got into it, and now my wife and I, we have 30 sows, and we make feeder pigs, and we raise all year long, and this was a particularly tough year because of the winter,
kind
of hindered me a little now, but I guess every farmer had their, you know, hell to go through this past winter, so, you know,
farming in New England,
complaining about that, so.
A lot of the farms I follow online, they're down in Georgia, and they're loving life, farming, and I'm like, you live in Georgia.
Right, right. We're in our third week of May, and we just had snow on the ground here, four and a half weeks ago, piles of snow.
The ice just left the ponds.
It's wild. So,
yeah.
But that's New England. It changes, and we get it done. So, I've been, this is my about 34th year of selling feeder pigs.
Really?
Again, we started, you know, very small, and I meet good people.
Yeah.
I meet people who, you know, are kind of more in contact with the earth. And, you know, they're more real people type thing. I help the 4-H kids.
That's great.
And I put on some demonstrations here for them, and I
judge
a little for them. It's like my way, I guess, of giving back.
Yeah.
Because I see a kid that works with animals is different. He has responsibility, respect, and he just has to do things besides sit behind the computer all day and, you know, like that.
Exactly.
He has to take care of his animals, and... When I judge, at the end of the show, I thank the parents for taking the time, you know, to work with their kids. I think if more kids had things like that to do, that we'd have less problems with kids getting in trouble, you know.
I
and
see that with mine.
Idle hands are trouble.
Idle hands.
You know, it goes back to
there's
that.
There's no
you
idle
know.
Hands on a farm.
No, there's always something to do, believe me.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, and, you know, it's... Through that, I've seen generations. I mean, there's kids that I've helped now that are getting married and having their own kids.
Great.
But yeah, we have customers that, I started with customers of about one or two pigs, and I've still got some of them. And, you know, they've gotten older and their families have left, so they stopped doing it, you know, for themselves like that. But, you know, you're getting new people come in and they want to learn. And with the CSA things today and, that, I'm dealing a lot more with people who are buying them, you know, for that reason.
Right.
So my business has kind of gone off in that direction a little more.
Nice.
But I still do the private people. If you want one or two, that's how I started, and I'm not going to forget that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my thing.
So you're saying you also sell to people, do you sell whole pigs to people for CSAs?
No, I sell the feeder pigs.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I strictly stick to the feeder pigs. That's my thing,
and
you know.
There's a good reason
Tom
for
Tom has tried selling pigs to customers directly in the past. But he prefers to work selling feeder pigs to farmers, and there's a good reason why.
I'm kind of old school. I don't like to deal with all the the fancy people. And, I want to deal with guys like me, and those are the guys that shovel pig manure.
Right. You know?
So, yeah, we do that. And I don't have, it's more of a time thing because I also work off the farm. You know, this is full time here, but I have to subsidize my pay, you know, off the farm. So it's, if you spread yourself too thin, you're not doing your job well somewhere.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And I had people before that I would butcher the pig. They're hanging on the rail at the slaughterhouse. We talk to them, and, oh, yeah, okay, a month, and it's good. And two weeks, yeah, it's good. And, oh, geez, now I don't want it. Well, you know, I got like a 3-4 day window here to make a decision. Where if I call you and you don't want your pigs, I just call the next guy on the list. And, you know, so it's a lot easier, you know.
And you definitely, like you mentioned, the people that you interact with, people shoveling pig manure.
That's it.
And on the retail end, you know, if someone's looking to start a business like mine where we're dealing direct with customers,
right,
you get a customer, you get a certain kind of customer that they like the idea of local food,
right,
but that doesn't mean they like pig manure, they're
right,
they're a little
right,
more high, you know,
right,
high society, and with that comes a certain, certain way you got to work with them.
Tom raises a great pig. He raises purebreds and he raises crosses.
So I keep kind of a closed herd. I haven't bought a female to breed in 22, 25 years.
Wow.
They all come from my herd because I know what they do. Yep. I know their mothers.
Yep.
I buy purebred boars for the most part. I look for quality that I'm trying to put in. We have... My basic sow herd is Landrace Yorkshire. I like the white mothers. They have more pigs. They're very good mothering ability. I am strong on underline. They've got to have at least 14 udders to stay here because we're having, except for this year, decent litters that, you know, we've weaned 15, 16 pigs sometimes.
Wow.
So everybody's got to have a bottle to go to. So, you know, that's important. Right now I have a Hampshire boar that I'm kind of playing with. I love Hampshires, but they just don't have the number of babies that my white pigs do. So
are you crossing?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
The Yorkshires are kind of nice and long in the Landrace. In the Hampshire, he's a little more stout, but more muscled. So by crossing them, we're going to hopefully get that long pig with some good hams and good shoulders in him and like
that.
Have
you done that yet?
I've done it years ago, but the ham has gone out of him, so I got a little bit coming back in. Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow. That's great.
So it's, you know, it's something I'm looking forward to, and it's like.
You can hear when Tom talks about pigs, he loves them. And that's why he's such a good mentor when it comes to raising pigs. Tom's given me lots of advice. He helped us from day one. He had us come and tour his facility before we even bought a pig from him just to see what we were getting into. He won't sell you a pig without doing that. He's a great pig mentor. He had a good pig mentor, too. Maybe that's why.
I had a mentor in Middletown. His name was Cliff Congdon. He's since passed. He had Yorkshires, and he was real proud of them.
Yeah.
So he helped me out a lot.
Wow.
So that's where I got some of my first breeding stock.
That's
and
so
we listened to him. And, you know, some of the things that he taught me still are with me today and I use. And then there's other things that people say, like they used to castrate pigs, I believe it's on a full moon or a rising moon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I can't, I got to castrate them when I have time and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like that. And
wow.
One thing I still do and for once you wean the pigs is I feed them oats.
Oh, yeah.
I mix it in with their baby pig ration.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little, like, roughage that kind of dries their intestine a little bit so they don't have dysentery or less chance of dysentery, you know? And, well, he was the one that got me on the Yorkshires and, you know, I...
And
helped him
there,
farrow pigs, and you know,
so
and
just
he taught me.
With him.
You know, being there with them, taking care of them, and you know, feeding them proper, taking care of them proper.
Yep.
You know,
I know from doing business with you, Tom, you right away talk to your customer when they're brand new. You walk them through the care. You ask, do you have if it's a colder time here? Do you have a barn?
Right.
You don't just send pigs with people and say, "Yeah, have fun. They're yours now."
I care about the product I put out.
Yeah.
You know, I I want that animal to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And if that animal is taken care of by you and fed right and housed right, you'll do this again next year.
Yep.
But if you don't have a facility to put them in, and you know your wife calls you at work and says, hey, the two pigs are running down the road,
yeah,
you're going to think, this is a big pain in the ass.
Yep.
I don't want to do it no more.
And then you won't have me as a repeat customer.
Right, yeah. Right. I'd rather, because I've had customers want a dozen pigs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to raise them and sell them, but do you have any sold yet? No, but we'll sell them. Don't do that. Yep. You know, start small, take baby steps.
Yep.
Because last year, the price of pork was really high.
Yeah.
Right now, it's kind of settled back. And if you take them pigs, like, say, down to Middlesex Livestock Auction,
yeah,
you won't even get your feed money back, let alone what you paid for them. So don't waste your time. Start slow. Get customers.
And that's exactly what we did when we talked to you first, Tom. You said, start with two.
Yeah.
And if you can sell the one, that'll help defray the cost of the one you raised for yourself.
Right.
And then grow. And then that's exactly how it worked for
it'll
us.
Be the learning process exactly. For you, too. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You gave us some advice on how to set up for those pigs.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. What do you want to make sure everyone has first?
I'll take time with the people to come over to show them.
Yeah.
I think we
visited before we even did. Got pigs, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
You had us
that.
Come and your and wife see and the place.
You come over, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and my dad came.
That's right.
We walked
that's
the property. Right. We talked about. You said, come up, see the place, see
that's
how
right.
I house them, see how they work. And
that's
we'll
right.
Talk about
so you can get some ideas.
Yeah.
So because it's everybody's like rush today. Well, take the time, learn, do it right. Feed them a quality pig feed. Then if you want to divert to other things like produce and
right.
things like that.
Right.
They really don't gain on that, but it makes you feel good that you're marketing something
right.
that you have left over, you know, like that.
And you went into that first thing was when we were talking about feed, you said, listen, you can let them eat grass because we wanted ours out on grass.
Yep. And that's, you know, good fences make good neighbors. And, you know,
We had to go when we fenced for the outside area. We had to dig down with an excavator.
Yep.
We buried logs.
Yeah.
Zip tied the fencing to the or a radiator clamp to the logs.
Yeah.
And so far, we've only had a few escape artists. Last year, one of the ones we got from you, he had pointy ears.
Yeah.
And he was the only one in the bunch.
Damn Yorkshire.
And I called him Spike because of the spiky ears. That guy got out more than any pig I'd ever had.
Well, they.
I was going to turn him into a roaster. He was so bad. But I only sold one roaster, and we had a pig in the group that grew smaller than the rest.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, he gets to
there
go to
go.
The end.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he was getting out right up. The day I was getting ready to load, he got out. Full-size
there
pig.
You go. There you
running
go.
Running around the property.
Yeah. Well, they all have personalities.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the sows do, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're the most curious thing. I mean, if you ever give a pig a pail with a nipple on it and they've never drank that way before, I give you 10 minutes and he'll
figure it out.
Yeah, he's fooling around with it.
Yep.
And, I mean, they eat wood. They chew on things. So you got to make it so it's going to, you know, last. But, but again, going back to the feed thing.
Yeah, let's start the feed again.
If you're selling these, you know, like a CSA situation, if you're putting it in your own freezer, you want quality.
Yeah.
And with quality grain and a quality pig, you can get a quality price.
Right.
So feed him the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if you range him out on dirt, it's going to take extra time for him to get to market.
Yep.
Because I can market a pig in 5 months from the day he's born till, you know, the day he's 230, 250 pounds.
That's great.
But again, that's in a semi-confined situation, you know.
Yep.
One of the biggest challenges a new pig farmer will come across is moving their pigs. Tom's got some great advice there.
If you're moving pigs, there's always an aggressive one, and there's always the coward. So you kind of want to move them as a group.
Yeah.
And there's the old saying, you don't teach a pig how to sing. It just pisses the pig off. It gets you mad, you know. So you move them. You don't push them is what I'm saying. Moving them as a group, it's easier.
What's the best way to get a group of pigs to move?
If you're going to have a place where you're going to raise the pigs, make sure you can get a trailer to it.
Yep.
Okay? The best thing would be is back the trailer up to where you're going to load them. Try not to have electric fence there because the pigs, they remember electric.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, they can smell it when it's off, so they start digging, but when it's on. And feed the pig in the trailer. Feed the pigs in the trailer toward the end. Throw some grain in there. Let them go in there. Let them walk out. This way, the day that you're going to do it, you're not going to have a heart attack, and the pig's not going to have a heart attack. Because you really don't want to stress that pig out before you butcher him.
Yeah.
You know, because I've seen pigs, when they were stressed in like the hams, there's little blood spots in them. It's like, you know, he's just so stressed out. Yeah.
Wow.
So you don't want to take the 4 months or so you've had them and throw that work away at the end, because you're not going to be able to take that ham and sell it to a customer with blood spots in it.
Right.
It's not bad, but it's not pleasing to
visually
look at.
They don't like it. It's not going to hurt anybody, but it's not going to sell, because they'll look at that and say, oh, go to the next one.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Boy, that's fascinating.
Move slow, move in groups.
Yep.
If you can, you know.
Do you use, like, feed to get them there? Do you like to?
My sows walk from the back of the barn into the farrowing room, and we just go out and I let them out. And
they work with you.
I go at their pace.
Yeah.
Some will jog around the corner. Other ones have got to fart around because they're digging on dirt because they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
There's a little grass, so they have some grass, and finally I point them around the corner.
Yeah.
And as you move the pig, do not get ahead of his front shoulder, because if you get ahead of his front shoulder, on whatever side you're on, he's going to turn the opposite way. Okay, so you just stay behind his front shoulders.
Yeah.
We call them battle boards. It can be simple as a piece of plywood with some handles on. Just kind of keep that and point him in the direction you want to go.
A slow presence.
Don't let him gain ground going backwards.
Yeah.
Because just keep him in the direction you want to do. You know, this could take an hour, this could take 15 minutes.
That's
you know?
Great, right there. Knowing that, just give yourself time.
Yeah.
When you got to move them, don't have to get to work.
Yeah.
don't have to.
Yeah. Or get up. Trouble. Give yourself 2 hours to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you get them in the trailer early, you just have another cup of coffee.
Amen. That's it.
I mean, my knees are beat up and my shoulders are beat up from wrestling with these things. And at my age,
you learn the way to do it.
They
right.
do the way they want to do it, and I just work with them, you know. So, yeah, it's
not everyone's going to have the chance to buy from you, Tom, right? Some people, we do have a good amount of listeners in Connecticut and viewers in Connecticut. But a lot of our audiences, we have people listening in Australia. So, if they can't come to you, what should they look for in a source for pigs? What do they want to see in the pig farmer?
I'm very much into cleanliness.
Yeah.
Not to blow my own horn, I keep my place very clean.
The pigs are right behind me, doesn't smell a bit.
We move our manure every day. Yeah. I don't have a flush system. We use shavings or, you know, a little bit of shavings, but it's like semi-solid manure. Yeah. So you move it. If you move it every day, you don't have fly issues.
Yep.
Excuse me. If you don't, you know, clean it, you'll have disease issues.
Yeah.
But you let him have some knowledge. I mean, you want to buy a pig that has some size to it. Don't buy a little 20-pound pig.
Yeah.
You know, my pigs go out at like 40, 45 pounds, and, you know, they're past the very fragile stage, you know. I mix my pigs before the customer comes, because they're going to fight with each other, because that's just what they do. It's a pecking order.
Yeah.
So if anything happens, I want it to happen here, not, you know, with you. I mean, if I took, you know, and put pigs from different litters in your truck, you could be all right. But then they got home and said, geez, I don't know you, so, you know, let's start scrapping, you know. So, but, you know, kind of cleanliness. You know, the pigs are, you know, their coat is like, you know, not rough.
Yeah.
Their tail has got a little curl to it. Because a pig who just doesn't feel well, you know, he's going to be a little lethargic. You know, his eyes will be a little sunk in his head. His tail, you know, could be dropped. And, you know, coat rough and things like that. The coat could be rough from parasites, too. You know, but just for the most part, you know, somebody who, you know, cares about their animal. And, again, you're going to have a better experience if you buy, you know, a pig that's got a little more quality. You know, price isn't always the best. Though, I keep track of Craigslist and things like that. My yep. price is fairly, you know, the bottom part of the list, but who knows what next year is going to bring. You know, I don't raise my price yeah. every year, and I hold my price because for most years that, you know, my prices were a little higher. So, yeah. you know, and last year I could have got more for my feeder pigs at auction, but I couldn't say to my customers, I'm going to take them to the auction and yeah. not give them to you because yeah. you're going to get mad at me. But, you know, yeah. it's...
To lose customers.
Yeah, and you have a little knowledge, you know, yeah. and do a little research before you do it and yep. hopefully get the right, you know, information. But health is a big thing.
So look for health. Look for... Preferably, I'd imagine it'd be better to find someone like you who specializes in feeder pigs and not someone who's just raised a bunch.
Well, you're going to get a guy who's got a sow, but again, yeah. it's how, you know, I've seen things on Craigslist where, you know, the babies are out in this pen in snow,
yeah.
you know, and so, but.
So what would the warning signs be then? If you see, is there,
cough, okay. just not moving well, you know, again, the tail dropped, the yep. ears dropped if they're an erect ear animal, and, you know, make sure their eyes are clear, and,
yep.
you know, it's like when you walk into this barn, the pigs don't see well, they hear better,
yeah.
so they're going to bark and run, and, yep. you know, so if they don't feel well, yeah. they, you know, I'm not going to do this, you know, so, but yeah, you know, just, it's kind of yeah. a common sense thing, yeah. I guess, if,
it's a general, you know, the way any sick animal looks, keep your eyes out.
Right, right.
And look for, like you said, look for a place that's clean, and I would say find someone that you feel like you can trust. Cause
very much so.
If I knew I had no idea what a good pig looked like the first time I came here, but I knew right away I felt like I could trust you.
Transporting your animal, yeah. I kind of like the plastic closed-in, semi-closed-in dog yeah. carriers. Put some sawdust in there so yep. he can have a little traction. Don't leave him in the sun. I mean, yeah. when you get him, go home with him. And because
yep.
it's a stress move in him, and yeah. they like to be in a more enclosed place that's comfortable for them. And
yeah.
you get them dog carriers, and you put a couple pigs in, you'll know that, you know, when you get home, they're kind of laying side by yeah. side. They're a little scared. They don't know what's yep. going on, but it's less stress for them.
Yeah, it's a stress day for sure.
Right.
And the more you can do to make that better
right.
for them, the better it'll be.
Again, that's a reason why I mix litters here.
Pre-mix.
So you can pick out the ones that you want, so yeah. that's one less worry you're going to have.
Yep.
I use ivermectin injectable warmer.
Yep.
I was doing that the day the customer gets it, but I've backed that up, so that's yeah. one other stress thing that
one
they don't
thing.
Go through. Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Right, right. So it's like
great.
Pick them out, put them in there, and get them home. When you get them home, just leave them alone.
Yep.
You're going to want to watch them.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll spend more time watching them
oh, yeah.
and taking care of them because they're always doing fun. Something,
yep.
you know. But leave them alone, you know. Let them get settled in and then handle them.
Yeah.
Because when you start to handle them,
yep.
you know, you get them used to you. So moving day comes.
When they get bigger, yep.
Yeah, it's like they
I
never...
I get mine to the point where they'll come when I call.
There you go.
Yeah. But it takes a couple months of
yeah.
interaction.
Yeah,
daily.
Get in there. Let them... They'll chew on your shoes. They'll
yep.
do things. But pet them and so yep. they're not afraid of you, you know.
Yeah.
It's my wife and I, we showed pigs for 22 years,
yeah.
right? And I can always remember going to the fairs, and at the end of the fair, you know, it's time to load the pigs. So, you know, I would usually load first because I had two loads. So we just opened the gates and they'd run and bark and run right in the trailer. You know, we've handled them. And then you get the guys who didn't do nothing
yeah.
and they're grabbing them by the tail and the ears.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that in front of people.
Yeah.
Because, again, you never know who's watching
yeah.
you, and,
yep.
you know, sometimes, you know, you'd like to boot the pig, but
right?
you can't do that, you know. It's
I
like,
always wonder, early in the morning when I'm having trouble with animals, I always hope my neighbors aren't out for a walk.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm yelling. Ah,
yeah,
God,
yeah, yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah, sometimes they get you.
Yeah, you
get
know.
Get your goat.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, it's, you know, our food supply is the safest.
Yeah.
Why people would eat things from China, I mean, they have regulations, who knows what
yeah.
they are. And you have, you know, the animal rights people are just, they just push us,
yeah.
You know, and because you don't know it makes it all right. So, you know, the food coming in from other countries don't have anywhere near the inspection
yeah.
that we do.
Yep.
So, you know, except that, some things have to, you
yeah.
know, be sacrificed
yep.
for you to have your food.
And,
you know.
Price is usually...
yeah, yeah. It's, you know, buy local, yeah. You know, it helps us, absolutely. You know, and absolutely. You know you're getting a quality product.
And if you buy, you know? Everyone thinks local is expensive, but if you buy the right way, I always tell my customer, I don't sell retail anymore. Don't buy a retail cart, because then I have to keep freezers, and I have to worry about not selling.
Right.
I sell wholes and halves.
Yeah.
And that way I can get it to my customer at $6.50, which in our area is comparable yep. to at least Trader Joe's and Whole Foods.
Right.
It's better than you'll find it there.
Right.
For, you know, I'm selling the whole pig, so they're getting tenderloin for
right.
$6.50 a pound.
Right.
Now, I can do that because I sell whole.
Right.
And they have to invest in that whole animal, but I even make it a payment system. Yep. So this local food thing, it can work. Everyone just has to relearn how to make that food transaction. Yeah,
that's another thing I've always told my customers. If you're going to sell a whole or a half,
yeah.
get some money.
Up front.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, get some money maybe in three stages.
That's exactly what I do.
Because yeah. it's like, how much does that car cost over there? Well, it's $159
that's
a month.
It.
You know, they're not going to tell you
easy.
It's $30,000.
No.
You know?
They
yeah.
send you the flyer for a lease, and it says $139 a month.
Right.
I can afford that.
Right.
That's
right.
exactly
So
what
you're
I
not mean. Hitting yeah. the customer with one big, you know,
yeah.
wham bill
Dude,
at the same time.
$1,000. I need it now.
Right. Right.
yeah.
You know, so that's the way to go. It's yeah. you know, it helps them, plus you're working with their money.
Yeah,
you know, you
yeah.
buy the pig with their money, you feed the pig with their money.
I get my deposit covers all my costs.
Yep.
So if they walk on me at the end,
there you go,
I can just resell the pig, or I can keep it, and I haven't lost any money.
There you go.
It doesn't pay it to all my cost. It doesn't pay for the butcher, but if I need to pay for the butcher to eat my own pig, well, that works
right.
for me.
That's fine. So. Yeah, yeah.
Tom,
no,
before we finish, why would you, as someone who loves pigs and been doing it your whole life, why would you say someone should be interested in trying out raising their own pigs?
It's an experience
yeah.
That I think everybody had years ago that
yeah.
doesn't have now, and I think this is why we have such a disconnect with our food.
Yeah.
People think that it's terrible to eat. You know, me, and it's happened for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know, I call it the renewable resource. There will be here, you know. But you know what you put in them, you know what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell my customers. They are what they eat.
Yes.
So put in what you want to eat.
Yeah.
You know, I had this fella, he would come to me, and he has brewer's grain and
yeah.
Apple pomace, and he yeah. was going to raise it. I says, no. I says, because you're going to be calling me because you're going to have problems with them, you
yeah.
know. So are you sure? Trust me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So he bought pigs for me last year, and it was his first year. He fed them grain, and from what he was telling me, he was selling them for $10 a pound in cuts.
Great.
So, and he come back this year, and he's getting two batches of pigs for me. So,
there you go.
Just, it's not fair to the animal.
Yeah.
You know, feed it right so it can have a quality life.
Yeah.
And again, the pig needs a balanced diet. He's not like a cow or sheep. He doesn't need all the roughage. Feed him quality pig feed.
Yep.
Okay. And if you want to feed him something else,
sure.
that's good. But it's going to take away a little bit
yeah.
from the bottom line of,
yep.
of you know, he's going to be in today and out, you know,
yeah.
if time is not your problem, dairy products are great if you can get them.
Yeah.
Especially milk, you know, but you know, they'll grow real fast on that. Probably a whisker faster than even the grain, you know, and, yeah, but, you know, feed him quality, take care of him, and it's going to be an experience, like I say, you've
yeah.
never had. That's, again, why I go back and work with the kids.
Yep.
Because, you know, I've seen generations of, you know, these short kids that are tall people, and, you know, they have a little place, and
yeah.
they have animals, and, you know, they're teaching it to their kids,
yep.
and things like that. So it's kind of rewarding to me,
yeah.
and, you know, I mean, farming's not something you're going to get rich on. It's
no.
just something that's in your blood that people don't understand. You know, why would you deal with a winter like this to do that?
Well,
you
give up?
You don't understand,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's, bred into you, I don't know. It's, you know, but I like working with people that have livestock and like that, and
yep.
I love working with pigs,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
and
well, that's clear,
you know, it's you're so at one with yourself, and
yeah.
you know, I'm part of this farm, you know. So, yeah.
A lot of history here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe we got to just sign off first. So, everybody, we talked with Tom Dexter. Tom, if they want to get a hold of you, if they're living nearby and they want to come talk to you about maybe buying some pigs, how do they get a hold of you? Do you have an email, Tom?
I do.
Maybe we'll go that route. Yeah. So we'll talk about that when we cut the cameras.
I do.
Tom, thanks so much for taking this time. You've been a huge help to us on our farm.
You're the reason
why we're still doing pigs.
I enjoyed it.
And thanks so much for taking the time.
They're not as hard as you think they are if you do it right.
All right. That was great.
If you live somewhere around Connecticut and you're thinking about doing pigs, I can't suggest Tom Dexter enough. If you want to get a hold of him, you're going to have to get a hold of him through me. Email me, aust@thisishomesteady.com. Ask for Tom's info and I'll forward you there. This wasn't the whole entire interview. Like I said, this is a video that's found in the Pioneers Only library. I edited a few of the parts out that were a little bit more visual. If you become a Pioneer, you can see the whole video, you can see Tom's pigs, you can see the housing that they're in, how he likes to keep them. He also talks about a couple other subjects, including gestation crates, this was a particularly interesting part, and raising pigs on concrete. If you're really thinking about doing pigs, it would pay to listen to the full interview at thisishomesteady.com. And now it's time for the special announcement and a sneak peek at the next episode, this really exciting one that we're working on that's really big. So first, the special announcement. The Pioneer Library has really been set up for the serious homesteader, someone who loves homesteading, wants to learn everything they can about it. And a lot of the Pioneers have mentioned in their reviews that it's their research for their future homestead or their current homestead. This library is full of good stuff. So when we first launched it, it was only $3 a month, but now that it's chock full of goodness, get in there at $3 a month. If you like this kind of episode, a really in-depth homesteading episode, there's lots more in the Pioneer Library. You're going to love it. For the rest of October, if you join Homesteady's Pioneer program, it will stay $3 a month for the lifetime of your membership. As long as you're a member, you'll be a member for $3 a month. And November 1st, that membership price is going to go up. So rush on over to thisishomesteady.com. Become a Pioneer. You'll see in the menu the word Pioneer, or in the sidebar there's the picture with the white goats. Become a Pioneer. It's $3 a month right now until the end of the month, and it will be $3 a month for the lifetime of your membership. You'll get exclusive access to all the bonus content. You'll get an extra episode of Homesteady every month. Maybe you're going nuts waiting for the new episode, and now you don't have to, and you can listen to all the other ones that are sitting there waiting. So guys, thank you so much for the support, whether it's becoming a Pioneer, leaving a review. You guys have been awesome about leaving some amazing reviews in iTunes. We just took the second place for the word farm and farming, the second place spot for podcasts, which is mainly because of downloads and because of reviews. So thank you so much for the reviews you've been leaving. I'm going to take a second to read a couple of my recent favorites. They've been so good. One of the recent ones that I really liked is by the Owens Homestead. And they title their review, "Careful, the Addiction is Real." "We are beginning homesteaders, and Homesteady is by far the best podcast if you are looking for information and also a little entertainment. I listen to them over and over, soaking up all the information, and every time gaining a new idea to research or validating an old one. Homesteady is our addiction for sure." I think that's going to be a Homesteady shirt. The addiction is real. We had another review that I want to respond to because I think it's a really good point. It's by user D. Bren. He says, "1 year on and I continue to really enjoy the Homesteady podcast. It has become part of my Saturday afternoon routine, much as This American Life, Fresh Air, Sounding Options have for the last 10 to 20 years. I expect and hope that Homesteady will continue to produce high-quality, entertaining information based on living off and with the land, much the same as with my other favorite radio shows or podcasts. I'm not a farmer or homesteader, but the quality of the stories and the production have a place in my life now. Great information, while I'm doing chores slash errands slash working. However, I disagree with certain aspects of the monocrop episode. He says, I do agree that the land should be utilized in slash by a number of different ways slash crops, including growing a garden, planting trees, especially fruit and flowering trees. But I'm a big fan of a good amount of lawn. He asks, where are the kids and dogs going to play? Lawns serve a useful function, but just like many other aspects of our lives, we need to strike a balance. A veg slash herb slash flower garden makes a home a better place in many, many ways, as does a lawn. It is a playground right outside of my front and back doors that I can watch my kids and dogs and their friends play. I realize that you're not really saying that everyone should turn their lawn into gardens. I just wanted to add my bit to the discussion. I thought that was a really good point. And, you know, we were smashing lawns the last couple episodes. But it's true. It's a good place for your kids to play in the backyard. So, yeah, good point. If you have any good comments about the show or otherwise, go ahead and leave a review on iTunes. Because it might turn out that, in fact, my wife totally agrees with you. Because my wife totally agrees with this comment. She loves our bit of lawn that we actually have that's just lawn. And she likes having a spot for the kids to play and to walk around barefoot. So yeah, balance, always good. So nice comment. This episode was brought to you by the Homesteady Pioneers who are keeping this show going. Without them, we would have stopped. So consider if you can do it, become a pioneer. And now, here's a sneak peek of our next upcoming episode. Oh, and by the way, our second episode of the serialized sheep episode, that's coming too. It's just not instantly. We're going to do another sheep one a little bit down the line about fiber and stuff. So don't think I forgot that. It's all coming. Now, here comes a sweet adventure.
And, you know, at one point, it's probably like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we just stop. And I took some film at this point, and we just look at each other and we're like, what do we do, bro? Like, where are we? Like, there's no signs of anything. We're like still like all you can see is like fog, rocks, like sheer cliffs. You can't see like 10 feet past you. And we're like, oh, we're gonna die out here. We looked at each other, we're laughing, but you know, we're not really laughing. We're like laughing, but like just like sadly laughing. So we're like, okay, let's just keep going.
Getting lost in the wilderness, not knowing where you are, not having enough provisions to last much longer. This is the story we're going to hear today on the Homesteady Campfire.
That episode coming shortly. And while you're waiting, head on over to thisishomesteady.com, become a pioneer, and enjoy the 20 plus other bonus episodes and videos in the Pioneers Only library at thisishomesteady.com.